Welcome to Mountain View Church Audio, coming to you from the wilderness city, Whitehorse, Yukon. We strive to introduce people to Jesus through scripture, biblical instruction, and prayer with authenticity and vibrancy. You don't need to know anything about the Bible. Just sit back, relax, and let God do the rest.
We all protect the things that we love and we find are important, don't we? Most of our life is based on what we think is important, and we try to protect those things, whether it's our home, our investments, our lifestyle, or if it's our kids. For you, those of you who have children, whenever your kid gets sick, you want them well, don't you? You would trade your own health to have them protected. You want them well. And when you seem to not be able to do anything, it frightens you and it saddens you. And whether you realize it or not, there's going to come a point where we're gone and we can't protect our home. We can't protect our investments and we can't protect our kids. We all need protection that is invincible and eternal. And the God of the scriptures, the God of the Bible, is the only being, the only avenue in all the universe that can offer an invincible and eternal protection for our souls into eternity. And so we need complete security. We need comprehensive protection and rescue. And some say they trust in God. Many people in the Yukon say they're Christian. Many people in North America say they're Christian. In fact, in America, what does it say on their currency? In God we trust. Really? Is God the central person, the central figure in whom Americans trust? It seems like they trust other things. The media, influencers, other things other than God. God is on the back burner, if given any allegiance at all. In Canada, if you go to Ottawa and you go to the Parliament building, there's the memorial chamber there and there's beautiful marble slabs on the interior. And our country, Canada, is founded on Christian principles, some of which we find in the scriptures. In Psalm 138, for example, verses 8 to 10, it says this on one of the panels at Parliament. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So there's an understanding in North America, at least at the onset, it seems like we need the protection and guidance of God. Of God. And so at Parliament, there's this psalm that's meant to guide us as citizens of this country. As citizens of this world, we are to align our lives with what the scriptures say. And here at Mountain View, we're doing a series through the Psalms. And I want to focus particularly on Psalm 91. In the book of Psalms, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's essentially a songbook for God's people, the nation of Israel. God had formed a people to follow him, to love him, to know him, to give allegiance to him and no other God. And millions upon millions of people throughout generations would follow after God, the Israelites. And they had this songbook, the book of Psalms, 150 very raw, emotional songs of history, songs of praise, songs of mourning. Our emotions, any emotion you will find in the book of Psalms, it's meant to be a history of what the people of Israel had gone through and how God had rescued them and protected them. It's meant to be sung today. It's meant to be read and memorized today. And it's meant to guide you and I into the heart of God. The book of Psalms is a book of songs. The book of Psalms is a book of psalms. It's not a bunch of dictionary definitions. It's not just a bunch of Christian terms defined. It's because Christianity is a singing faith. We're celebrating who God is, what he's done for us. And we sing to him. We give praise to him. And singing is an outward expression of an inward reality of thanks to God and his great protection. So in Psalm 91, this is the main point I want us to get today, is that Psalm 91 teaches us the invincible love and protection of God. So read with me Psalm 91. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You can follow us with your app. If you don't have a Bible, just message us below and we'd love to deliver you a Bible as a gift from Mountain View to you. Here we go. Chapter 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So I'm going to pause there for a second. The psalmist, the writer of the psalm is saying, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. There's this idea of dwelling. So making God your home. I know it sounds strange, but this intimate relationship that we are at home when we are with God, to dwell there. We're not just passing by. We're just not loitering. We're not just hanging around and bugging God. We are dwelling there. He is our refuge and my fortress, he continues in verse 2. But many Christians do not dwell with God. This idea of abiding or spending time with him or making their home with God. Many people say they're Christians, but our thoughts, the way we spend our money, our time, our energy, our dreams, what we think about, what we focus on, is not primarily on God. God is in the background. Maybe God is just a good way to raise up kids with good principles. We do not dwell there. We choose to dwell in other places. We'd rather dwell on our phones and our computers, thinking about other things, not of God. We'd rather dwell in our sin. The things that break God's heart, we would rather dwell in that, live in that, than we would with God. And this God of the Bible, he deserves all of our allegiance, all of our praise, all of our worship. To dwell with him would be the least that we can do. The God of the Bible alone. Not Allah, not Buddha, not the raven, no other God but this God. In these two opening verses of Psalm 91, we're introduced to four different names of God that tell us his character, of who this God is. In verse 1, he's called the Most High. In the Hebrew, the original language in which it was written, it's Elyon, and it signifies God as being majestic and sovereign and totally in control. Another word is Almighty. In the Hebrew, it's Shaddai, and it means powerful, powerful beyond comprehension. And this word Almighty or El Shaddai, it occurs 48 times throughout the Bible, showing that God is absolutely in control. The third one, the Lord. The Lord is God's personal name. In the original language, it's Yahweh. It's this idea that God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He reveals his name to a man named Moses, the story of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And so we render Yahweh or Jehovah into L-O-R-D, all capitals, and that's what I have in the English Standard Version, and you might too as in your Bible. He's all powerful, all knowing, the Lord. He's almighty. He's the Most High, Elyon. And then lastly, number four, he's known as my God, my God. In Hebrew, it's Elohim. And this name first appears at the beginning of the Bible, the very first verse in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. And this word, Elohim, means he is the supreme one. He is the mighty one. This is the God who protects. This is the God who is all-powerful, who's created everything. And for those who place their trust in him, he will offer his protection, his invincible love and protection for you. And this is how the psalmist Psalm 91 can say, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You see that? How God is personal to him. My refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He knows God intimately, personally. Do you have that relationship with God? Do you know him that way? That we say things as Christians, God is good. But can you say, God has been good to me? God is good to me. We say things like God is love, but do we say God loves me? I have been with God. I have made him my fortress. I have made him my refuge. My God in whom I trust. Do you know him like that? Or is God just an idea? Something that we've been raised thinking about, this theoretical Santa in the sky who will help us in a time of need? Or do you dwell with him? Do you know him personally? We must know God's protection intimately. And the writer of this psalm, he does. He knows God personally and shares about God's protection with those who trust in God. So we continue in verse 3. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The fowler is someone who catches birds. And from the deadly pestilence or plague. He will cover you with his pinions. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but I will not come near you. But it will not come near you, sorry. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. The idea is, life is hard. And all sorts of things come into our lives, whether it's marital strife, whether it's the wars, whether it's plagues and viruses, whether it's car accidents, whether it's bankruptcy, whether it's sickness, death, injury. These things come. And God is saying, I will protect you. Ultimately, this isn't a chapter that says, if you become a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to go well. You're never going to get injured. You're never going to get sick. You're never going to break a bone. No, that's nonsense. This prosperity gospel that's been preached throughout North America and it's infecting the world with this horrible, damning teaching is not what the psalmist is saying. What the psalmist is saying, he is there in the midst of it. And he has protected his people. He's protected the Israelites as they were enslaved in Egypt, and maybe some of you can testify in how God has protected you through some of the worst times in your life. and he was there, and you dwelled with him, and he was your refuge and your strength during a time when you felt lost and hopeless. This is what he promises to be for you, this protector. And this psalm, Psalm 91, is known as a messianic psalm. Messianic psalm. It speaks of a Messiah, someone who's going to come and who's going to bring his kingdom and his rule, who's going to be the savior of the world. Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm. And Satan in the New Testament quotes this psalm to Jesus in an attempt to deceive him, to make Jesus give his allegiance to Satan. He quotes verses 11 and 12. I'll read it again. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And so Satan uses these verses when Jesus is tempted in the desert by him, in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, it says this. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, and now he's about to quote Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Jesus says to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. And so in this interaction, the devil is daring Jesus. You jump off this cliff. If you are the Son of God, your angels can just come and save you. And Satan uses a Bible verse to justify an action. This is twisting scripture. Churches do this too. They twist the scriptures to make it say what they want to say, to take your money, to take your allegiance, to grow their empire. That's exactly what Satan is doing. He's twisting the scriptures to manipulate them, to make it say something evil. Every false religion, every heretic, every heresy, which is a false teaching of the Bible, begins with a Bible verse. They're not these ideas that they just manifest. They go to the scriptures. They, oh, look, the Bible says this. Therefore, I'm going to have multiple wives. Therefore, I'm going to do this. They're using the scriptures. But Jesus responds with scripture. This is what we need to do. If we are having a discussion, an argument, a debate with someone, with a believer, we need to go to the scriptures. We don't go firstly to science. I'm not against science, but that's not where we go first. We don't go primarily to reason. I'm not against reason. God is a reasonable, logical God of order. But we must go to the scriptures. And we can only go to the scriptures if we know the scriptures. Do you know the scriptures? Do you read them daily? Meditate on them. Think about them. Talk about them with your community. Talk about them with your friends. Do you live them? We must be in the scriptures to be able to cite scripture. Be in the word. Be in the word. The devil takes this verse out of context from Psalm 91. He takes it totally out of context, because if you were to continue in verse 13 in Psalm 91, it says, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Now, at first glance, that seems nonsensical, meaningless. There's some words in there we might not understand. But notice that there's this idea that the serpent will be trampled. The serpent is another word for Satan or the devil. The devil in the Bible has been called a roaring lion, the old serpent, the red dragon. And so to this promise, the writer is saying in Genesis 3 to 13, and the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So in this perfect garden that God has set for his people, they were to flourish there. They were to walk with God there, enjoy one another, enjoy God's creation. But there's one tree they were not to eat of. It was the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "Do not eat from this tree, because if you do, you will die. You will bring a curse into the land." And so as Adam and Eve are in this garden and they go to they're around this tree, the serpent comes along. He's saying, "Did God really say that? Did he actually say you can't eat from this tree? Eat of the fruit. Because once you do, you will know the difference between good and evil, and you will be like God." That's the first lie. And Eve gives into it, and it curses humanity. We call this original sin, and it enters through Adam and Eve's disobedience. What have you done? And this serpent, though, there's this promise of this serpent that will be crushed in Psalm 91. The young lion, verse 13, "And the serpent you will trample underfoot." And so the psalm is not only talking about God's invincible love and protection, it's also sharing with us about Jesus Christ, who is God's ultimate expression of God's love and protection. He is the serpent killer. He will come and trample the head of this serpent. He will be the one who will do it once and for all. This is the gospel. This is the gospel in Psalm 91, verse 14. "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." This is the comprehensive rescue of the gospel. This one who will crush the serpent. "Those who love me, I will deliver them. I will protect them because they know my name. If they call on me, I will answer him. I will be with them in trouble, rescue them and honor them. I will be with them and show them my salvation." Do you know Jesus Christ? He is the only one who can offer eternal protection. This is what we call the good news of Jesus. This protection is not just from plagues and car crashes and broken bones and illness. Our souls are going somewhere for eternity. And outside of faith in Jesus Christ, we will all go to hell. The wrath of God falls upon us because of our rebellion against him. He's good. He's perfect. He's mighty. He's holy. We've broken his laws and rejected him. We've rebelled against him. This is high treason against the King of the universe. And he's not going to just forget about it and move on. No, his wrath, his fury will fall upon us. But 2,000 years ago, God sent his son who would live a perfect life, who was God in the flesh, and he took the infinite wrath and fury of God upon himself. And by faith in Jesus, we are forgiven of our sin because of what he has done. He protects us by offering this great salvation. This is amazing news. This is amazing news that we can know God. We can dwell with him for eternity. And in this sacrifice, in this great passion of a mighty Savior 2,000 years ago, death was defeated. The serpent was crushed. Jesus declares, "It is finished." What can grip us? If death comes to us, that's just the beginning of an eternal dwelling with God. we have nothing to fear. No plague, no violence, no gossip, no slander, no arrow, nor night. We have nothing to fear because God is with us. He abides with us. He rescues us. He loves us. This is the gospel. If you do not trust in God, you have no ultimate and eternal protection. The wrath of God will fall upon you. Place your faith in Jesus Christ today. Do not hesitate. If you have questions, there are people in Mountain View who would love to hear your story and bring you to the Savior. And some might object, saying, look at my life. You're talking about God's protection. Look at my family. They're dying. They're sick. It's broken. My church is broken, it seems like. My world is broken, it seems like. The media is going crazy. What do we do? God has abandoned me. It might feel like that. But I want to give you a quote from a Christian author. He says this: in life, the Lord may permit many terrible things to happen to his children. We can read about that in the book of Job, as he did to his own son, our Lord. But his children know that no power is out of God's control. No power is out of God's control. There's nothing happening right now in the universe without God knowing about it. And he's there in the midst of it. And in his mysterious ways, he is working it for our good and his glory. And if we can't rest in that fact, when bad things happen to us, and they will, we will run away from God instead of to him. And he's opening his arms wide, saying, I have taken what needs to be taken, your sin upon my son, that you could be set free. This is the suffering of Christ. This is the suffering of our servant King to protect us, to give himself glory and praise. He's done this for us. And if this is your situation where you just feel like your life is falling apart, do not lose hope and take heart in the gospel. Consider the suffering of Christ on your behalf. Consider that God is with you. Cry out to him, pray to him desperately, and he will sustain you. He will bring you home. He will bring you home. It's not the good things that you do. It's not your squeaky clean life. It's what Jesus has done on your behalf. He will hold you invincibly by his love. He will protect you forever. This is what is known as the doctrine of eternal security. You are eternally secure in Christ. No other religion offers that. No other worldview offers that. Cling to Jesus. I'd like to leave you with one application. One application, knowing that God's invincible love and his protection is with you. And this is the one application: that we provide comfort to others. We provide comfort to others. And I get this from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves have received from God. You look around us, the world needs a lot of comforting, doesn't it? People are divided. It seems like people have forgotten how to be human. The fighting, the slandering, the backstabbing. To provide comfort to the widow, to provide hope for the hopeless, to be there for the least of these in our community. This is where Christ went. This is what his kingdom is made of. The least, the last, the broken, the forgotten. Dear Christian, go into the world and comfort. Comfort them with the gospel. Comfort them with the protection that only God offers. not these techniques, not these self-help books, with God. God is our shelter. He is our protector. He is our deliverer. And Psalm 91 reminds us and it teaches us that God is always in control forever and always. Amen. I have two questions that I'd like to leave with you guys to discuss or just think about in the quietness of your own heart. But the first question is this: who in your life needs to hear these encouraging words from Psalm 91? Who in your life needs to hear these encouraging words from Psalm 91? And question two: how could you share about God's protection with a non-Christian friend this week? How could you share about God's protection with a non-Christian friend this week? God bless.
Thanks for listening to Mountain View Church Audio. If you have given your life to Jesus today or would like to join, serve, or support Mountain View Church, please let us know. Email connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. That's connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. Lastly, feel free to connect with us through social. Just search @Mountain View Whitehorse. Have a blessed week.